How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. Today, it's the weekend. That means it's mentor moment time. Every weekend, I bring you a brand new mentor. I bring you 10 to 15 minutes of our most impactful and insightful guests packaged up to set you up the week ahead in a short, bite-sized episode. Today is a great friend of mine, Fergal Brady. Every time I meet Fergal, I learn something new. We have shared many lunches, breakfasts, dinners since this episode. And every single time I meet him, he teaches me something new. It's a remarkable indication of someone's quality. Today, he's going to teach you about the triple bottom line and why you should be introducing that to your business and to your way of thinking. Here is your mentor moment with Fergal Brady. First, quick thank you to my partners, and then we'll get straight on with the episode.
Over the past 5 years in this podcast, I've spoken to loads of amazing Irish businesses who grew from one idea to become world-class companies, able to compete with the best on the international stage. And many of those started up and grew with the help of their local enterprise office. From starting or growing to become more sustainable or digitization, the local enterprise offices have everything to help make it happen for your business. Visit localenterprise.ie or click the link in the bio below. Okay, you know me. You know I'm massively into my health, fitness, and training. But there's one thing I haven't spoken about before, and that is a product I take every single day. It's a product called Resilience, and it's made by an Irish company called Ethos. What's kind of funny is that every single entrepreneur I meet, that is the one characteristic they have, incredible resilience. So I like that little play on words. It's a multifunctional supplement that supports cognitive function, immunity, which is super important this time of year, energy levels, and it keeps stress at bay. I also love it because it's easy. If you're bringing anything new habit into your life, it has to be easy, and taking Resilience is so simple. I simply mix it in a glass of water every single morning, and I always throw a couple of extra in my gym bag to keep them with me. It's a really tasty blood orange flavor as well. It ticks all the boxes. It has B vitamins, amino acids, vitamin C, and adaptogens like reishi mushroom and ashwagandha. So if you want to try it, I think you should. Go to weareethos.com. And because I like it so much, the guys have given me a discount code. So if you go to weareethos.com, enter Gary Fox at the checkout, you'll get 20% off, which makes taking Resilience about €1 a day, which is an unbelievable price for building some inner resilience. Check out weareethos.com. If you've been listening for a while, you'll know Iconic Offices has been my partner and home in the pod for a long time now. Working and recording in their spaces has helped support the ambitious goals of the pod, and to be honest, really helped it grow. So I partner with them to give you, my fellow entrepreneurs, the opportunity to work from Iconic Offices spaces and experience it for yourself. No fees, no catches. Simply visit the Iconic Offices link in the show notes below and enter the code GARY24 and claim your free co-working day pass, or bring the whole team with you and book a day office.
Alan had wanted to set up a investment company, and myself and a couple of others worked with him on that. So we set up a company called VentureWave Capital with the goal of developing an impact investment fund, which would invest in companies which do well by doing good in the areas of clean tech, education, healthcare, and food and agriculture, with this sort of triple bottom line where they would be profitable. We'd invest in them to scale internationally or to bring international businesses to Ireland to use as a headquarters and a scaling launch pad, that they would have a positive impact on the environment and on the world we live in, and that they would bring jobs, taxation, revenue to the country, to Ireland. So this kind of triple bottom line effect was the sort of ultimate
goal. I like that phrase. I've never heard that before.
The triple bottom line, yeah.
Is that trademark?
No, it's open source.
Okay. You're going to hear me that quoting that now in loads of different interviews.
Yeah.
Triple bottom line really is what it's all about.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I've stolen it from somebody. So, you know, good artists paint, great artists steal and all that. So we set that up with myself and Alan and Kieran, got it underway, and lockdown had just happened. And so I was kind of heavily involved in developing the sort of the impact investment thesis and the impact assessment and how we reported on it, etc., the fundraising and so on. So that was fine, looking at companies, evaluating them for investment and whether or not they'd fit the thesis. But it wasn't something that I definitely wanted to do full time. You know, I'm an entrepreneur and I wanted to, fundamentally, I want to build stuff, you know, actually
build
myself.
Why did
you
do it? What drives you to set that up?
I like the idea because I suppose a patriotic point of view, there's lots and lots of things which are great about Ireland and there's lots and lots of things which I'd like to change. And I think one of the things that we need to change is our sort of long-term investment focus, you know, in particular around infrastructure, et cetera. You know, there's a sort of veneer of first world around Ireland, but, you know, underneath the covers, we haven't actually invested sufficiently in core infrastructure. And by core infrastructure, I mean the stuff that we're relying on from the British from 100 years ago, like plumbing, you know, sewage, waterworks, roads, railways, you know, that kind of stuff we really haven't focused enough attention on. But at a sort of an economic point of view, I think relying on the foreign direct investment in the long term is probably not going to be sustainable. And so we need to foster a much better culture of entrepreneurship and growing indigenous Irish companies and encouraging them to scale. And, you know, organizations like Enterprise Ireland are absolutely amazing at it. They were incredibly supportive of Blueface and New Business Now as well. But, you know, entrepreneurs need to step up to the plate as well. And we all need to step up to the plate about, well, look, you know, how do we view this? What's our strategy? We don't need a sort of 3-year strategy. We need a 10-year, 20-year strategy.
It's like the 100 years. I think it's Japan, is it? 100-year strategy?
That's what you need.
Like this is exactly what I think as well in terms of the Irish entrepreneurship scene. Number one, it's super new. Mm. I remember 10, 15 years ago, there was very few people you could point to and go, that person is a success. They have done what I want to do. I see the path. I think you have to see it to be able to do it sometimes.
Yeah.
It takes you 10 times as long if you can't see it or do it.
That's right.
Really believe that. Yeah, we'd very few people. And that's why I like doing this podcast is that I want to show people like there's hundreds of Irish entrepreneurs that you can look towards and emulate, because I listen to all the San Francisco podcasts. Can't relate to that.
Yeah.
Oh, we did a quick round of 100 million. Come on. You know, we don't have that scale, but we talked about this over breakfast. How do you turn your weakness into a positive? Mm. So what are the key things you would do?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I think
you've got the platform. You've just been elected dictator of Ireland. You can do whatever you want. It's not a democracy anymore. We live in your world. What are we going to do?
I think on the economic front, you know, that the infrastructure, I'd probably leave to other people to focus on, but I'm originally a mechanical engineer. I like infrastructure.
I kind of like it. Building
stuff, you know. So yeah, railways all over the country and, you know, anyway. But from an economic point of view, a lot of the entrepreneurs, the really, really successful ones, are incredibly supportive and nobody knows it, you know. And I mean, I'm not going to call them out, but some of the really, really famous entrepreneurs in Ireland who helped me personally, and I know they've helped lots of other business, they're already helping and do a lot for fostering entrepreneurship in Ireland.
It's hard that they can't talk about it because it's almost this kind of big grudgery, I'd almost call it, just to put a little label on it. I think there's an element of, he's done well, who do you think he is? He did this, but he didn't do that. He didn't do this, but he didn't do that.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, I think.
More transparency there.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, I think. But I think a lot more sort of joined up thinking. So, and I think that 50-year plan that we discussed, that's a fundamental part of it. So if you take an example, almost all successful economies were built around protectionism, you know, where they developed an indigenous industry, you know, be it cars, be it, you know, machinery, whatever it was, you know, and that was protected and you couldn't import them from anywhere else. So they'd have a major public project, be it building roads, building bridges, building trains, and they built them in the country and they're the only ones who could supply it. You know, so we've got a fantastic image as a country of this, you know, green, you know, sustainable, beautiful country with a fantastic agricultural output. But, you know, do we leverage that enough? I know lots of people are trying and on board Bia and everybody else are doing it. But, you know, should we be focusing on sustainable agriculture instead of having, you know, 250,000 cattle, you know, bred for producing beef to turn into hamburgers? Should we produce, you know, 5,000 of the highest quality grass-fed, ecologically, environmentally friendly cattle that there is? You know,
Wagyu beef is a perfect example.
Yeah,
everyone knows what that.
Exactly. You know, if if you look at Échiré butter, for example, there's a little place in France, Échiré, it's really, really famous.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful sort of butter and all the rest of it, but it's five times the price of your Kerrygold or whatever it is. You know, like, sorry, this is a country where it rains almost everywhere every day. It's one of the greenest countries on the planet. Cattle here eat grass all year round. Why aren't we doing something about that? So if you have a joined up strategy around, okay, this is our agricultural strategy, this is what we're going to produce, this is what we need in order to do it, these are the grants and the incentives we're going to put in place for indigenous companies to supply into these areas. You know, we are getting there, we are starting to do it, but that's the kind of thinking I think we need to have around the next 25, 50 years.
I think it goes back to your original point about the triple bottom line. Grants to what end? Grants to an end of profitability, not grants that make farmers reliant on X crop. Grants gone, crop's no good no more. Now we change strategy again.
Yeah. And strategy is a long-term thing. So you don't really change strategy.
Well, it takes so long to educate people on one thing. Yeah. People think, oh, well, just you see these all the time, these new initiatives and these new things, this new thing. And you're like, okay, well, give that 5-10 years and it might have an impact.
Yeah. So you kind of need to look at the country. Okay, what are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? How do we turn the weaknesses into strengths? You know, what does the country look like in 25 years and in 50 years? You know, how many people are we going to have in the country? Is it 6 million? We can't, you know, at the moment, we can't have 6 million people. So is the country full? You know, should we stop attracting businesses to Ireland because there's nowhere to put people? You know, should we? You know, when you look around, we're in, as we talked about earlier, we're in George and Dublin at the moment, beautiful facades, all the rest of it, the city's flat, there's nowhere to live. And yet you look up at every single Georgian building around the city and you'll have dust, cobwebs, they're not used. Why can't you turn them into residential housing? Georgian offices are typically rubbish as offices, you know, for most purposes. Why aren't they housing?
You said, you know, hit the nail on the head, facades.
You know, yeah.
They're facades. Yeah, they're beautiful. They're like movie sets.
Yeah,
the front is beautiful, the inside awful.
And if you've got a whole pile of cash and, you know, you've nothing better to do, you can restore them and they look fantastic. Projects. But I'm sorry, 99% of the population don't have the money to restore a Georgian building and fit it out. They just want somewhere to live. So you can do it, you know, you can draw up a plan with, okay, these are all the Georgian buildings. This is how we'll turn them into apartments. These are the incentives we'll provide. These are the materials we'll use. These are the companies that can provide it. They're all Irish. They'll create jobs. This is a big, you know, that's a way of having a joined up policy and transforming from where we are now to having an extra 100,000 apartments in Dublin or 200,000, whatever it is. And that's probably the number, incidentally, and it's achievable within 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
It's straightforward. Offices, you know, you've purpose-built offices have been built all over Dublin and Cork and Limerick and Galway, etc. They're great as offices. These buildings are terrible as offices, you know, for anyone who's actually ever worked in them.
COVID might be the prompt for that because going to be a draw out of cities in terms of like less offices are going to be required. The ones that are required are probably going to be those high-end ones that we talked about.
Yeah.
So what do you do with all the old stock?
With flexible working, you know, typically an office now with 150, 200 people capacity, you know, they've got lockers, they've got hot desking, so people come in, take their laptop out of the locker, put it at a free desk, work away, go home, leaving the laptop in the locker. You know, you don't need 200 fixed desks for 200 specific people. You only need probably 100 because they only ever come in that amount. So the whole of Dublin, you know, really the traditional city centre, that should be a vibrant residential area with people living in it, you know, and maybe working in purpose-built offices. But we need a strategic plan.
If you enjoyed that mentor moment with Fergal, I would highly recommend you go back to episode 230 and listen to the full episode with Fergal. You can get that on Spotify, Apple, or you can watch the entire thing on YouTube. I'll see you back here in a couple of days.